The Power of the Holy Ghost by Sam Gabriel. From Bard 2025, a competition run on the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition server. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Every day, I wake up. We drink a lot of coffee and watch the CNN. Every day, I wake up to a bowl of clover honey and let the locusts fly in. Clutch. Burning beard. B. Jane. The walls of Crocker Corp are red. So is the logo. So are the airships and the drones, and every single product that the company ever rolls out. This is branding. This is good branding. Good branding is fundamental to the success of a company. A good brand ensures that everyone knows at a glance who the company is, what the company does, and Crocker Corp. Crocker Corp has the most recognizable brand that Earthsea has ever seen. It was first to the market, after all, filling that bluest of oceans with beautiful, trademarked red. You slump in your red chair, staring up at the red ceiling of the red office. If only that red had been your idea. You're sure you'd like the color more if it had been. The more you think about it, the more you wonder why the company's previous owner had chosen that bright cherry red. After all, if the Batterwitch had wanted to slather an entire mega-conglomerate in a single color, wouldn't she have chosen fuchsia? Her favorite color? As this thought blooms in your mind, you are distracted by a sudden alert on your workstation. The notification icon. A bright tulip-red silhouette of a three-pronged spork, of course. Red is the color most likely to make people hungry. Many studies have demonstrated this. The company's founder had simply done her research on humans before taking control. Right. You open the alert. Gallows Calibrator, GC, began trolling Gutsy Gumshoe, GG. GC.
Jane, please get back to work.
Oh, jeepers, the boss has noticed you slacking. You straighten back up to perfect posture and adjust your blouse. Idle speculations about the company's origins vanishing from your mind, you resume your secretarial duties, all too aware of the massive, ornate, Carapacian-carved wooden door that looms in sight of the entire floor of the office, with the words CEO emblazoned upon it in the most delicious, delicious red. B. Dave. You dive to the right, crash. Then the left, crash, jump, crash. Wind whips your hair wildly around your face with every blow that you dodge. The drone has 11 billion claws all the size of your dick and...
You need to talk to me, Dave.
Busy. You slap the side of your shades to close the comm channel. Carcat opens it back up.
We need a status update. Rose needs a status update.
Ops foobar. Dodge.
Ops too hard? Dodge.
I'll tell you all about it in a fucking postcard.
You can do slam fucking poetry, but you can't give me a status...
Fuck. Dodge. Talk to Dirk, he's got the bird's eye. Dodge.
Be careful.
Dodge.
I love
you. All fucking gay. Dodge. He closes the comm for you this time. Good old Carcat.
Be Dirk.
The skies above Earthsea soar a brilliant blue tinged with roaring red, mingling without mixing, the colors twist in a vibrant mosaic that the wind never allows smoke to obscure. Below, the tight-packed, high-rise sprawl of the human kingdom is screaming, and so are several of your friends. Flames glare crimson in the gleaming armor of dozens of Tyranny-class war drones as it absorbs and nullifies the green crackle of Jade's witchcraft. Dave's sword cleaves right through it, leaving the innards vulnerable to twin trick shots from Jake. Roxy floats and zips about erratically, disrupting sensors and confusing even Crocker Corp's best and latest targeting computers. One drone goes down, more come, they attack. Your friends keep fighting.
Your dumbass fucking son or whatever is too goddamn ADHD for a proper report.
I'll be only too happy to pick up your husband's slack.
Still don't really understand what husband means, but fine.
Says the guy who got gay married.
Still don't get that one either.
A pity. Two full squadrons of tyrannies stand between us and the objective, with one more squadron on the way. Standard tactics seem to be working as usual, but we're losing the numbers game. Any optimism at this point is childish at best. Then again, as children, we created a whole damn universe with nothing but plucky, fresh-faced determination, so I'm sure we can do anything if we believe in ourselves. It's all about faith.
That was sarcasm.
Yes, it was.
What are our options, man?
You know, I'd love it if you called me Dad.
Choke on my throbbing, tumescent bulge, queef lord.
Language. We can exfiltrate, not too difficult really, but that loses us this engagement, and any future chances at achieving this objective go down substantially.
Because she knows...
That we know. Yes.
So we throw all the stake tokens into the risk mound?
Only thing to do, son.
Eat a dick.
Gross. The mission had been simple. The objective, irresistible. Chances of success, always at least this grim. You would have fought harder against the whole sortie if not for the availability of one particular asset. She was some of Rose's finest work. Found and recruited during the worst, most desperate year of the session. A literal godsend that the other seer hadn't seen coming. You see your moment. You dive like a hawk, sword poised, every muscle tensing just so. A head the size of a Winnebago crashes to the ground with a metallic shriek. Thanks. Pleasure. Your blade is black with oil, red with cloned blood and viscera. You sigh. You don't like killing pieces of Hal, but a click, a whir, a groan of servos and pneumatics. You flick your gaze the wrong way. The force of a comet crashes into your side before you can dodge, and the impact is soft. The fall, optimal. A green cape billows. A hand is extended to you. On one finger, a ring glints gold in the sunlight of Earth's sea.
That's another one you owe me, ha!
You allow her to pull you to your feet.
Now watch this!
Latula Pyrope soars back into the sky on gossamer wings and buries Dave's skateboard in the armor of the attacking drone.
Was that Latch? How's she doing?
Are you seeing this, Dad?
She's performing superlatively. I believe she calls this particular fray motif an unreal Christ air. No, man, I call it that. Dave called it that.
Oh, did Latch just call you Dad?
Irrelevant. Did the two of you just call her Latch?
Doesn't everybody?
Your blood runs cold, because no, they don't. No one has ever called her that.
I mean, you and Rose don't, because you're you and Rose, but everyone else...
For how long?
Since ever? Who gives a shit?
This matters. For how long?
I don't know, Dick Sneeze. Since fucking forever. This whole mission is called Operation Latchkey. I wonder the fuck why.
Because Rose named it that this morning as a tasteless joke after the two of you had argued about... Latula. Wait. That's right. You're right. And you are wrong. How could you possibly have been wrong about something this basic?
Lovely. I'm so glad we got that squared away. You know what else I'm right about? I'm right about how much you need to shut your festering bucket of a load-gargling windhole and get back on cunt-fucking mission, Dad.
Affirmative.
You're just tired, Dirk.
He's right about that as well. You do like Latula. You like her an irritating amount, in fact. But why does that irritate you? Indeed, why should it? She was very helpful during the session and is exceedingly helpful in the current situation on Earthsea. Something bothers you about that. Something bothers you about her place in this narrative. You don't have all of the pieces to figure it out because Rose won't give them to you. The problem. Circumstances surrounding Latula's arrival in the session indicated no less than load-bearing importance, and while she had been, again, very helpful, you are nearly certain that she hadn't been pivotal to the session's success. The will of Skaia does not extend beyond the confines of successful sessions, but Latula has only grown to pivotal status, has only justified in full the grand narrative confluence that resulted in her arrival. Now, outside the session, after the session had already been a success, after all of you had stepped through the door and found, in the fullness of time, that Terezi Pyrope had been waiting for you on Earth-Sea,
for eons. The nickname is probably nothing. In fact, you are probably looking at all of this from the wrong angle entirely. A lot of things don't make sense to you in this universe. They seem to make less sense the longer they keep happening and the longer and harder you keep thinking about them. Like quicksand. The only thing you're completely certain of is that when you finally kill that fucking bitch in that fucking red fucking tower, your fucking head will stop fucking hurting. A sudden distant scream. Dave, stay on Latula. Okay? You fly. You slap your shades.
What now?
Jake's down.
Fuck.
Be past Rose. The fans in the small gym of the Resistance bunker on Earth-C are not nearly powerful enough to manage the cloying humidity of the room. That's why you tend to be the first one to use it each morning. You're pretty sure Dave or Carcat or somebody makes sure that people give you your space in here as well. They know you're somewhat embarrassed to be seen exercising. It doesn't fit your image, after all. And brisk walks through the neighborhood are, of course, out of the question for you. Sucking down some water, you step off the treadmill, wiping its cool black rails clean of the evidence that you actually, on occasion, perspire. Onto the mat for some crunches and want to spar? It's going to be one of those mornings wonderful. She stands there, in her godhood on one side of the taped-off square, grinning that cocky, shit-eating grin that she reserves just for you, leering at you through her cocky, shit-eating sunglasses. You stomp right over to the other side of the square, girding the skirt of your own godhood around your waist as you settle into a basic Krav Maga stance. She rises up into a graceful crane stance and beckons you with one hand. Dave once told you that when she does this, it is a reference to a movie that he and John had shown her back during the session called The Matrix. That would be funnier if you didn't do it literally every single time you wanted to fight me. She just smiles sweetly at you. You hate her for that.
Be present, Rose. You sit, later that day, on a couch in the Resistance bunker on Earth-C, receiving reports from Carcat and worrying. But a part of you is still there, years back. On an asteroid in the Vale, wands in hand, knees trembling, as your heart is ripped away from you. You had just received a single message.
GA, she's here.
You reach into the fabric of the universe and wrench from it the knowledge to be where Kanaya is immediately. You appear in a cloud of thick, dense magic, panting from the effort of the spell, half spent but ready to protect your love, and Terezi is laughing at you. One of her hands is still pulling back from the shimmering hard light keyboard of Kanaya's computer, and her other hand still holds Kanaya's chainsaw, still spinning. Still spattering. At her feet is Kanaya Mariam, and she is in several pieces. You are frozen in shock and rage and despair until she flicks some of Kanaya's own blood into your eyes, and you blink. When you can see again, you are alone in the room, and neither sight nor magic gives you any trail to follow. Behind where Terezi had been standing, the words, "Now she's gone," shine in brilliant, still wet jade, trailing down to the extended forefinger of a delicately beautiful gray-skinned hand.
Be past Rose. You feel her fist impact your chest before you see her move. She's opening with the flash steps today? Fine, you've been training with Dirk too. You. Don't do a damn thing. She's behind you now, in front of you again. Light blows, fast blows, feather blows, tap, 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 point, point, point. Seeing an opening, you grab her wrist and she grabs yours in return. Both of them releases them. A tangle of limbs and you're in a full Nelson. She is so much stronger than you. You used to be the strong one. No, you didn't. You were never strong. Never strong enough. Be past Latula. She always finds a way to wallow, always lets those intrusive thoughts win. Poor Rose. You brace yourself and be present, Rose. It had been deliberate, calculated.
A born investigator and puzzle solver, Terezi had been sneaky from the very beginning. After she reached God tier, she just vanished. When one knows what everyone is thinking all the time, one knows how not to be seen, and she was never seen, ever. She made her omnipresence known instead by what she left in her wake. Bodies. John, Jane, Aradia, Eridan, Salix, Equius. You can't remember all of their names, you never even met some of them. But she let you see her kill Kanaya, made you see her kill Kanaya. Why? With all of your sight, all of your intellect, all of your furious supposition and guesswork, you cannot begin to understand what design of hers it could possibly have served. You cannot begin to understand how it would have benefited her to make you this angry. A part of you will always be there. But right now, the rest of you sits on the couch in the Resistance bunker on Earth-C, worrying about Latula. You hate yourself for that. She knows you do. She hates herself even more. After all, she chose to leave Mituna behind, to get obliterated by Lord English, or to waste away in narrative irrelevancy, or to exist forever as a lonely echo in the furthest ring. You didn't choose for Kanaya to die. Except you did choose. You chose later. When you sat nestled in that spiral curl of paradox space, hidden from Terezi, hidden from everything but your own rational mind.
You look between Roxy, Calliope, and this vision that Skaia has stabbed into your brain of some long-dead troll named Latula, Pyrope. Far beyond your desire for revenge, Terezi is an existential threat to the session, and a god-tier knight of mind would be the perfect weapon against her, invisible to her sight. You plead your case, and you hate yourself for it. Your mother exchanges a meaningful look with her dear, dear skull-faced friend. Hesitates. Hands you the ring. And something irreparable is broken between the two of you. You hate her for that. Then you ask Skaia a question. Is there any version of Kanaya that would do instead?
Be past Rose. You crash down on your shoulders and barely manage to break fall. Did she just suplex you? She's on you again. She's so fast, you roll to dodge hands and feet trying to get to your feet and can't. She's too fucking fast. She stops. Helps you up. Giggles.
Stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Lol. Incensed, you launch at her with the full force of your god-tier flight, catching her full across the chest with both hands. You bear her down to the ground and pin her there, raining blows down on her real ones. You're not sparring anymore. You want to kill her. She is so fucking annoying and stupid, and she's laughing as you leave bruises, welts, cuts. She lets you do all of it. You hate her so much.
Be present, Rose. And Skaia answers. It shows you the best possible version of Kanaya Mariam, the best possible outcome that she could give you and your friends. The session will drag on for a full decade more. You and your mighty wife will have 10 years together, fighting side by side against a foe who knows every move you make before you make it, and you will die. And Kanaya will die again, and all of your friends will die forever, and Terezi will inherit the new universe. Anything beyond that point, beyond the door, you cannot see. But there will still be a new universe. Neither timeline is doomed. The choice is yours.
You chose the Knight of Mind. You chose revenge and victory. And Terezi inherited the new universe anyway. At least your friends stopped dying, mostly.
a part of you will always be there as well. Nestled in that spiral curl of paradox space, killing Kanaya Mariam for the final time as you place the Ring of Life onto the finger of a person you have never spoken to before. More than anything, more than anyone, you hate Latula for that. For being the right choice, for saying yes when you asked for her help. She just hates you for asking.
Be past Rose. A growl rises in her throat and she stops letting you do anything. Her grip is like iron as she seizes you, her smile sweet and tender as she stands, forcing you inexorably to your feet and over to the wall and holds you there, arms over your head, and she is so strong. And you are so, so weak. Your legs kick and thrash and twine with hers, and you lunge forward to capture her mouth with yours, and a searing ray of stabbing light. Your mind explodes, asteroids in the veil, a spiral curl of paradox space, a small red cubicle in a red office on Earth C.
Jane!
Be past Latula.
What? Jane, fucking excuse me?
Totally not radical. Instant mood killer. What the fuck? You scowl, dropping her to the floor. She looks up at you. Sees your face.
No. I didn't mean... I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
And here comes the ugly crying again. Sigh. Poor Rose. She never really got the hang of being Caligonus, but she tries so hard. You can't help but hate her for it. You smile, sit down, and wrap your fronds around her. What happened, babe?
I had a vision.
You take her hand. She clamps down with a force you've never felt from her before.
Latula. Jane is alive.
Be present, Rose. But right now, the rest of you still sits on the couch in the Resistance bunker on Earth-C, receiving reports, worrying, waiting.
Rose?
Yes, Carcat?
Jake is down.
You blink, you twitch. What does down mean in this context?
I don't know yet.
Please find out.
Yeah, no shit. Latch is fine. I mean, Latula, whatever, is doing fine.
Thank you, Carcat.
Sending her was the right call. She's kicking ass out there.
Thank you, Carcat. He leaves. You allow your fists to unclench, allow your hands to resume shaking, allow yourself to curl up into a fetal ball, and let the walls close in around you. You haven't left the Resistance bunker on Earth-C since it was built. You can't. You are the leader. You know too much. Your mind is a book that Terezi can never be allowed to read. And the shields that safeguard against that are delicately woven into the very metal of these walls. They would rapidly unravel without regular upkeep from your wife. So would you. You would never have risked her in the field but for your vision this morning, but for Dirk debating you into a corner. You hate him for that. Just for good measure. You hate Jane for it, too.
Be Jake. Seconds in the past, but not many.
Line up sights, inhale, exhale, fire, reload. Line up sights, inhale, exhale, fire, reload.
Struth, your lessons with Jane have been paying off. It's ever so ironic, if you're honest with yourself, that she is now teaching you what you originally taught her. The other you taught her, of course, not this you. This you, yourself, the, what was it, post-scratch you? Yes, this you originally learned how to shoot from watching spaghetti westerns on telly. If you could even call that shooting.
Ha! The very thought makes
Jake, look out!
Shit!
You narrowly avoid a massive claw.
Jesus, Jake!
Thanks, Rox.
Remember, all deaths are heroic right now because we're trying to save people. People equals Jane! Oh no!
You know.
If you're honest with yourself, and you've been getting better at that lately, you care much more about rescuing Jane on a personal level than a tactical one. Obviously, she will be of considerable value to the Great Struggle and all that. Terribly powerful, our Jane. But you can't bear to imagine what Terezi is doing to her within that diabolical bakery abattoir. It makes you shudder. It's not a romantic thing, you don't think. If you're honest with yourself, and you try to be, well, the most honest way to put it is that you don't know whether it's a romantic thing or not. Romance is so blasted confusing. You definitely prefer Dirk's company now that he's no longer interested, which is odd in its own way. It was a remarkable shift in outlook for the old boy. All he seems to care about now is, well, ending the reign of Terezi Bloody Pirapy. Even before Rose's vision about Jane, he seemed almost impatient, as if he couldn't wait to be rid of the responsibility. He always did love to carry far too much weight on his shoulders. You're grateful to him for his focus. It makes up for when you lose your own—
Jake!
Smash. Ow. Quite ouch. You grind your face and hands and knees against concrete as you twist yourself upright. Well, that's very odd. One of your ankles stays put. Ah, and the foot that was attached to it.
Jake! Fucking Jake!
Your face hits the concrete again as you black out. Seconds in the future, but not many. A pair of blurry, furry ears slaps you. There are three. Three of her, not of ears, and it was just one that slapped you, one hand that slapped you, and it didn't slap you very hard, but—
We are not aborting, Roxy.
Jake's gonna die!
No, he's not. Not if I can help it, but Dirk's right. We have to keep going, Roxy. Your glasses have gone. Brilliant. Well, the maroon blur is clearly Dirk, the navy blue blur Roxy, and the black blur is Jade. And you know from experience that the bright green blurs that keep appearing and disappearing around all three of their heads are bullets that Jade is making not be bullets anymore.
I've got Jake, guys. Go regroup with Dave. Get Latch into position. Keep her alive. We have to finish this.
The maroon and navy blue blurs zip away. The black blur remains, turns, and kneels down next to you. Ow, your leg hurts so much and your foot hurts so much, even though it's gone now. How can you feel it? You stop feeling it.
Okay, Jake, I'm not Jane, but I can move your neurons farther apart and I guess shrink your blood vessels. And Jake, I don't know if I can do much more than that, but hang tight, okay?
You nod. You yawn.
No, Jake, no. You stay awake. I can't warp you home, Jake. Not yet. The bullets are everywhere. I have to help everyone and I have to help Jane, okay? Jane can fix you. Hang tight.
Jade zips your glasses back onto your face, but your soon-retrieved pistols are mangled beyond recognition. Sighing, she floats you to a higher vantage point and presses her rifle into your hands.
Cover me,
butt slap. A proper one this time.
Jane needs you, Jake! We're gonna go get her, you fucking cover me!
She flies away. And she left your foot behind on the ground far below. Bugger. Well, there is a war on. Line up sights, inhale, exhale, fire, reload. You pick off drone after drone as she twists their guardian-resistant armor to give you a clear shot on each. Dirk and Dave cut them down in tandem, and Latula rises up on her spectacularly hideous skateboard next to Jade. You track their progress toward the top floor of Crocker Corp HQ. Line up sights, inhale, exhale, fire, reload. Jade's ears stand straight up and alert, backlit by the glare of the highest windows. Latula crouches, tenses, waits for Jade to rocket her through them. Line up sights. A ball of fire and death crashes down from the heavens and you can't see them anymore. You look down. There's Latula, Dirk, and Dave staring straight at the sky. You look up. Portals. Meteors. So many, there are so many. Suddenly Jade appears alone in the air, above the highest rooftops, and massive chunks of blazing rock begin winking out of existence, shrunken or teleported or redirected. There are so many. Your leg begins to hurt again, it begins to bleed again, a bullet barely misses your ear, she's not blocking them anymore, you can see her snarling fangs blaze white in the sun. There is no mistaking it, no room for doubt, when a meteor the size of your old house, her old house too, is bearing down on her, is far too close to her. She should have stopped it by now. She should have... You won't. You will not. You very much will bloody not.
Jade! No!
I won't have it!
Be Jane.
Gallows Calibrator, GC, began trolling Gutsy Gumshoe, GG. GC.
Please see me in my office.
Oh, well. This is a first. Jeepers indeed. You rise, brush yourself off, check your hair, and saunter, pausing briefly as another rumble shakes the building to the massive, ornate, Carapacian-carved wooden door that looms in sight of the entire floor of the office. You rap on it once, and it opens immediately at your touch.
There you are. Thank you so much for joining me, Jane.
It is not red inside the office, at least not as red. In fact, it doesn't look much like an office. The walls and floor are steel gray, and you can't see the ceiling. Various pieces of what look like laboratory equipment are scattered all around, all churning and bubbling and pumping away. What is this? R&D is on level 100, not level 413. You look around more and see... Oh my word, is that...
Focus on me, Jane.
You are. You do. She is dressed in an exquisitely well-tailored pantsuit straight from 1980s Earth, complete with power shoulders and loose, flowing legs. And it is so very, very red. You can't imagine what material it could be made from. She must have alchemized it, which, yes, there's an alchemizer just over there, and...
I'm sure you're wondering about the noises from outside.
Well, and the shaking.
And the shaking?
And the shaking, yes. Don't worry. It'll all go away soon. In fact, you're going to help me with that.
Well, you're always looking for ways to impress your boss. Why, there just might be a promotion in it for you if you really put in 110%, you pipe up.
I'd love to help, ma'am. What's causing it?
Her teeth glint.
Come with me.
She leads you through a series of subchambers, each more impenetrably technological than the last. Your heels click against the hard floor as you walk. Are they too loud? Golly, this is all looking very technical. You hope she doesn't need your help with anything too scientific. You're much more of an administrative sort of girl. You've always thought you had what it took to make it in this cutthroat business world.
You see, Jane, what's causing all the noises and the shaking is the reckoning.
You...
Ta-da!
You can scarcely believe what you are seeing. Four children, two humans and two trolls, sit still and unblinking in red office chairs at identical computer stations, held down by thick leather straps. They wear hospital gowns and vacant expressions, and an IV drips down into each thin forearm. One of them, a girl you think it's harder to tell with trolls, has her hand raised over... Oh, God. The girl, the child, the troll, gray skin lit pink by the glow of an animated radial spirograph design that flashes on the screen, has her finger pressed to the enter key. You can't speak. You can't look away.
They were bred for this. I bred them for this. I pumped them so full of soporifics that they don't even know where they are. Oh, that they just kicked off the end of the world. I'm a bad, bad, bad person, Jane. But that's the fun part. You get to stop me.
Another noise, another rumble, another meteor. You shriek and jump several inches in the air. You whirl on Terezi. What are you talking about?
Well, actually, he does.
She is pointing behind you. You turn. He's unconscious, floating in a tank, breathing through a mask, and... It's John. It's John Egbert. You haven't seen him since your fight with Beck Noir. No, you're confused. You never fought him. You fought the Batter Witch, and you both won. Or did you win? You... But he's older. He's so much older than he should be. He's almost as old as your dad, as his dad.
Retconning ages you, Jane.
Your head snaps back to her.
What?
At least it does when you do it this many times.
You look back at John.
That's right, Jane. Look closely. Look with the eyes of a maid of life.
You do. You understand. The noises outside get louder.
It's killing him.
It is. Without thinking, you reach for the glass.
Not so fast!
Her hand flashes past your face and pulls a lever you didn't notice until now. John's eyes fly open, wide open. He screams a muffled scream that reverberates through the fluid he's floating in and the walls of the tank and the room around you, and it shakes and it rumbles and it roars until it drowns out the noises from outside. It drowns out everything, and wires stabbed directly into John's bald scalp that were always there, but you only just now noticed them vibrate and glow, and he screams louder and louder, and white light pours out of his skin. It's bright, so bright, it's all you can see, but you can't close your eyes, and John vanishes. An apparatus hangs naked in the tank, approximating the form of an adult man, supporting it from the inside, propping up meager remnants of vital organs. The entire digestive and respiratory systems are traced in tubing, pumps, and filters. Motorized armatures expand and contract over a heart that is not there. Kidneys, pancreas, liver. Fully mechanical now. The wires you saw in his scalp terminate in a network of filaments that was embedded, entrenched into every single fold of his brain, spiraling down his spinal column, burrowing through his entire nervous system. The whole machine bristles with countless barbs and hooks and claws. What possible purpose he reappears, superimposing himself over the wires, tubes, pumps, motors, barbs, hooks, claws, inside the shackles that were always there, but you only just now noticed them, shackles with a strange symbol on them that a dear, dear friend once told you about, and John thrashes and writhes, and his flesh rips, his bones crack, blood and marrow gush from shattered limbs drifting freely in the water, and he is silent, so silent, he should be screaming, he can't scream, his lungs don't work anymore.
He's dying, Jane.
You slam your hands against the blue glass so hard you're worried you might break it and pour your power into John, willing him to be still, to let your aspect work, to let you soothe him, weave him back together, make the pain stop. His eyes close. His chest, whole again, rises and falls. You notice a foreign presence in his body, a sedative. Therese removes her clawed finger from a button labeled in Alternian.
Good work, team.
You throw yourself at her. You hit the floor where she was standing a moment ago. You grab at an ankle. It's no longer there. You project your aspect at her to use it to hurt instead of heal. You don't even know if you can do that, but you miss.
You can.
You fly to your feet, remembering that you can fly. How did you forget that you can fly?
You forget a lot of things when you work here for long enough, Jane.
You stop. You float. You glare at her with a fury you've never felt in your life.
I can't see that look you're giving me, but I appreciate the sentiment.
What in the flying fuck?
And you have felt that mad before. Many, many times. Would you like an explanation? Of course you would.
You cross your arms. You set yourself down. You feel a chair touching your calves. You only just now noticed it.
Have a seat, Jane.
You sit. You keep your arms crossed. Talk.
First of all, listen closely.
You listen.
You hear that?
You don't.
Exactly.
You look over at the computer stations. The girl's hand sits at her side.
She hasn't moved that hand in 10 years, Jane. Congratulations. You just stopped the apocalypse.
You sneer. Didn't John do that?
I mean, really, I did that.
She nods to the lever. It's red, of course it is.
If you want to get technical, Jane, we did that.
You snort.
And the remarkable thing is, you actually remembered it happening this time. You actually perceived the retcon. That's really impressive. It's probably only possible because you've seen it happen so many times. Look at yourself in the glass, Jane.
You too.
I might be blind, but you're not. How old are you?
Your jaw drops. Right next to John's 30-year-old face, you see yours. Your graceful adult jawline. The very beginnings of crow's feet, a handful of gray hairs. And have you lost weight? You've aged 10 years since... Since when? You only just...
Only just now noticed. I know. I always have to point that one out to you. See, the truth is, retconning doesn't age you at all. That's just regular old time.
You begin to shake.
But I wasn't lying when I said the retconning was killing him.
You stare at John, and you know she isn't lying. Your healing could only do so much. John is barely holding on.
He only has one use of it left. He only ever has one use of it left.
But
we really do make a good team, Jane.
You grip the arms of the chair so hard that one of them snaps. What?
Think about it.
You sit, still shaking for what seems like an eternity.
How long?
An eternity isn't that far off. Turns out God tears age pretty slow.
You're lying!
I might be.
You slump in your red chair. You stay that way forever.
Why?
Terezi shakes with grinning mirth.
Because I tried everything else already.
Her teeth flash, fluorescent in the cold office light, long and bitterly sharp.
I tried everything I could think of, and even more things I couldn't think of. I was a good person, I was a bad person, I protected everybody, I killed everybody but me and her. I gave her moments of clarity, personal breakthroughs, victories, defeats. I even gave her a nicer fucking Lucis, or an even worse one, or one time I said fuck it and kept Spider-Mom alive. We brought her with us into this session. It was wild.
She hisses out a genuine laugh that echoes around the chamber before souring. She sighs, downcast.
I played out every single scenario in my mind over and over. And at the end of every one, she always had to go fight Lord English. She always had to leave me. And then I'd be alone. Again.
Suddenly, manically, her gaze snaps back up, riveting you, drinking you blindly in.
Well, I decided that was okay. You can't always get your way in a relationship after all. Right, Jane? So I'm giving her the space she needs like a good Moirale does. If every version of Vriska Circuit has to fight Lord English, then one of them has to win, right? We wouldn't be here if she didn't. So I just have to be in the timeline that she comes back to.
You can't tear your eyes away from her glasses.
And what does a Vriska need? A Vriska needs to save the day, so I gave her a day to save.
They seem to get bigger, pulling you in, drowning you.
The only trick is I can't let the good guys win too soon, you see, otherwise there'd be nothing for her to save. I know that once your buddy Jake goes all hope-tastic, it's basically game over for me. So every time that happens, I call you in here, I throw the switch, neurons fire in John's brain, he goes and twiddles something to make sure the good guys are delayed one day longer, comes back, starts dying, you heal him, and we do it all over again. And one of these days, she'll swoop in and save everyone from me, and she'll hate me for hurting her friends. She'll hate me so much, Jane. And that's perfect, because I hate her too. Because she left me a million, million times. See, if I can't have her diamonds, I'll settle for her spades. It worked out okay for Rose and Latula, didn't it?
Tears are streaming down your face, blurring your view of her goddamned fucking glasses.
Why? Why would I help you? Why would I prolong?
To be honest, I have no idea anymore. I've manipulated you into doing it so many times that they all run together. Take it from a seer of mind, you are one of the most suggestible people I have ever met. Who do you think put him in that machine in the first place, Jane? Who do you think designed it?
You draw a ragged breath, a groaning, agonized sound that feels so, so small.
I would remember.
You should remember, Jane. You should, but you don't. And why is that, Jane?
You whimper.
Why do you keep forgetting? I tell you all of this every single day.
You stop breathing.
Yes, Jane. I tell you after the retcon every single day. I like to keep my employees in the loop here at Crocker Corp. We're like a family here after all. So why do you keep forgetting about it, Jane?
You can't.
I mean, I can't do that. I'm a seer, not a thief.
You can't.
You give up? Of course you give up. You always give up, Jane.
You can't.
That's right. You always give up, Jane. And suicide isn't a just death when remembering is worse. You learned that the hard way. So you had to get creative with your powers.
You try to take a breath and you can't.
There are probably some side effects. Like, man, your attention span is just terrible now. But anything's better than living with the pain of what you've done for so long, right? You know, to John, to Jake, to everybody. Jake especially. Jake really cares about you, you know. And all it would take to get away from me and to go back to him is lifting one of those skinny little hands of yours, pointing it at John, and putting him out of his misery. I wouldn't be able to stop you, and he'd die a hero for sure. I mean, the poor guy's been fighting me for so long, Jane, because of you. That'd be the right thing to do, I bet. But if you do, what happens next? No matter what you did from there, to yourself, to your memories, John would still be dead. And you'd be the one who tortured him to death. You'd have to live with it, Jane. You'd have to live with all of it. And if that sounds too hard, well, don't worry about it. Just stick to what you're best at. You don't kill people, Jane. You keep them alive. Isn't that better? Come on, you know what to do. You've done it every single time we've had this conversation. It's easy, Jane. It's easy and it's over so fast. You've gotten so good at it. All you do is point your hand at your own big, fat, ugly, stupid, worthless, pathetic head. And I'll see you at work tomorrow. What do you say, Jane?
You find your breath. You scream it out. It's loud this time, louder than anything you've heard today, heard ever, as far as you know. You scream again and again and again, and the whole time Teresi sits there, unmoving, grinning that vile grin beneath those vile horns and those vile red glasses, and you scream and you scream and you scream. I lift my hand.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeated, composed and produced by Sam Gable. Special thanks to Sakika. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.